Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's your host, August Crenshaw. Thank you for tuning back in, as always. Greatly appreciate you. Happy you're here with me at As a Kid Radio. I am so excited, as usual, to see what it is that God wants to minister to us today. We had a very exciting time last week where we delved into some really emotional stuff, some heartfelt issues. So I really hope that last week provided some healing for some individuals. And you know what? If you didn't get to tune in last week, just remember all of the shows are always in the archives. You can go back and look at the episodes and you can pull them up. So I just encourage you to do that because I think that last week was very beneficial. Moving forward, just want to let you know that, that's weird. Okay, so I've never lost my train of thought like that on the show. Okay, so anyway, moving forward, for those of you that are listening in on the internet, remember the call-in number is still listed as well if you decide that you have a question that you want to ask at some time during the show, because unfortunately the chat room is not live, having a couple of glitches, unfortunately. So the telephone number where you call in directly is 347-838-9366. Again, that number is 347-838-9366. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the very essence of who you are, the very substance of what is in you if you are a follower of Christ. The F word. No, not the F bomb, the other word, faith. Now, I know some of you, as soon as I said what the topic is, that may be a discourager. Because if you hear one more preacher go to Hebrews 11:1 and talk about what faith is, and you still walk away feeling the same way you did before, I don't know. It might drive you crazy. But I think that today we can go to a different level talking about faith. I think that I have some stuff to bring to the table that may challenge your faith in ways that it's never been challenged before. And as usual, that's going to require me to give some of my own personal testimony. And let me just say this. I know that I put a lot of my business out there. I know that I give a lot of my examples. One thing I say on every show is that I don't believe in being extreme. I believe in balance, and I do not believe in a one-size-fits-all. So me sharing my story does not mean that I believe that everybody's life is stuck in a box and that your trials or tribulations, your hardships, your blessings, your struggles, your whatever you conquer, your dreams, that they all kind of fit into this category. But I always believe that there's something that the Holy Spirit would allow me to say that's going to trigger something in you. And when that happens, that don't have anything to do with me or my testimony. Because I'm going to be real honest with you. If it's one thing that I don't like, is I don't like it when people go beyond getting inspired by somebody else's testimony and you try to live through a person's testimony, because what it takes to get you through to the next level, it may be something completely different. It may be less complex or more complex. So I always share my stories because I believe even if I share 30 minutes worth, 2 minutes in there might speak to your circumstance or your situation. So I'm personally going to put myself out there today because we're going to be talking about faith. Because I have something going on in my life right now that is so magnificent. And I kept saying, I'm going to share it once it's over. I can't wait to share this testimony. And you know what? Why do we do that? I mean, come on, saints, let's think about it. Why do we always wait to share our testimonies when they're accomplished? Subconsciously, I honestly believe it's because we want to see it come to pass first, so that if we did miss God or got something wrong, that we share it at the end. That way we can say what God did and how he ministered to us and how it worked out. But faith requires something a little bit more different than that. We speak about it on the front end, and people see the results of it on the back end. So let's just still take a look. It's a classic scripture that defines faith. For those of you that want to go there or are unfamiliar with it, it is in Hebrews 11, this chapter 11, verse 1. Anybody and everybody that has heard a lecture or teaching on faith knows that that scripture which says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we hear that, but what in the world does that mean? That is, that right there is a question that I have heard many people say over and over again throughout my lifetime. What does that mean? And then somebody might tell you, well, you know, that's when you believe in God and you stand on God, even when it looks like things ain't going to happen. You know, you still trust him and you know it's going to work out. And people get deep with it. And I'm not saying that anything that anybody said was in error. I'm just saying I believe that today we're going to take what they said and we're going to add something extra to it, because I want everyone that finishes listening to this show today to say, you know what, I'm not operating in the full capacity of what faith is. So what I always like to do, many people that study the Bible, a lot of times you pick up the dictionary and you go look up the words, you look up the definitions. If you go to a website called www.BibleStudyTools.com, you can go to the Greek and Hebrew lexicons. You can pull up any scripture. Typically, there's only certain versions that will allow you to find the concordance numbers. You can pull up the words. You can see what the word was in the original Greek and Hebrew text. You can even hit a button if you have speakers on your computer to hear how they pronounce those words in the original language. And you can look at the definition that they had, because I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. The way that words are defined over time, it gets modified. Sometimes things get kind of added to or taken away from. So whenever you want to understand something, you need to go back to the original content. Not that looking at a definition now doesn't matter, but I think that a lot of times you'll get something that's way more deeper and more detailed and more relevant into knowing exactly what the author, which is ultimately God, what he intended through the person that he had write the scripture. So substance. What is substance? It says substance is a setting or placing under. Okay, that didn't help me too good. Things put under, a substructure, a foundation. I said that's getting warm. Then I saw the next definition. It says that which has a foundation is firm. That which has actual existence. Now, see, that's where it got me. I'm like, actual existence. A substance, real being, the substantial quality, nature of a person or thing, the steadfastness of mind, firmness, courage, resolution, confidence, firm trust, and assurance. That's a lot. But the key things that stuck out to me, that which has actual existence, the quality or nature of a person or thing, and courage. See, one of those definitions is steadfastness of mind. A lot of us people that are believers, even if you're not a believer, you know, as far as Christianity is concerned, steadfastness of mind when it comes to faith, that right there I think is the easiest one. You know, even though sometimes you may kind of feel a little bad, some things may come down your path that makes it look like a goal you're trying to attain won't get there, but a lot of times you could be like, no, I'm going to trust God. That's the piece of faith that I believe that most saints get stuck at. And people that aren't living to their fullest potential, Christian or not, I feel that that's where you get stuck at. Because at the end of the day, whether we want to admit it or not, from a ministerial perspective, you need to understand that faith is. And I don't care whether you have faith to be the biggest drug kingpin in the world or to be a minister of the gospel all over the world, faith is about believing. And beyond believing is beyond an action, because we know the scripture in James says that faith without works is dead. So faith and work go hand in hand. They participate with one another. It, actual existence means that there's something happening or existing that's going on right now. But when we talk about faith, we always talk about it as if we're believing in something that is going to happen. So how is something that hasn't happened and me believing in it and having something right now, what is that? That can get kind of confusing. Listen to me. Here's my example from my life. I believe God wants me and my family to move out of St. Louis. My husband believes the exact same thing. He spoke that thing to us, and he spoke it to us in a hurry. The convenient thing to do, the steadfastness of mind thing to do, is to believe that because he wants us to move from St. Louis and go to another state, that he will open a door. And this is where we get stuck. Well, if that's what God wants to do, I know he's going to make a way. If it is God's will, then I just know that it's going to happen, and he's going to open a door that no man can close, and if he don't want me to go, he's going to close a door that no man can open. And we don't understand that we become cliche Christians, that we immediately start popping off a few little Bible scriptures that we didn't memorize, and they're the primary ones that we know, hint, hint, because we steady hearing the same old sermons and reading our same favorite passages and don't want to read anything different, so we get stuck with our faith in that same spot. But that's not what faith looks like. If you read the, what they call it, the Faith Hall of Fame, it speaks over and over and over again. For instance, like with Abraham, it says that he had faith, the kind of faith that caused him to go somewhere, and he didn't even know where he was going. But because he went, he received an inheritance. That's down in verse 8. So right now, my family and I are in what we perceive as an Abraham moment. God is saying that that's where he wants us to be. So instead of waiting, we are going. See, it would be a whole lot easier for us to say, okay, well, if God wants us to leave and go to another state, what we probably should do, because my husband works for a good company that's throughout the nation, he should apply for a position wherever it is we desire to go. And then trust God will open that door and that he will get that position. And then we will say, okay, it's time for us to move, so let's relocate. No, that doesn't require, now I'm not saying that there isn't any faith in that at all, but if you want God to move, you know, people are always talking about God don't move the way he used to in the Old Testament. I think some of that stuff is made up and things like that just don't happen anymore. Well, I mean, do you move like the people back in the old Bible days used to? Would you really walk away from everything that you have? Could you do that? Because Abraham was well off. And God told him, hey, I want you to go to a place, I'm going to show it to you. People, sometimes church people get caught up in the other scripture. What does it say? Take the vision, write it down, and make it plain. It says write the vision down, but you don't necessarily always have a play-by-play. Some of those things you only figure out as you're actually stepping in faith. So listen to me, people. This decision that we came to, it came towards the end of April. So really all you have is May, and now we're in the first month of June. Now, we begin to tell people, oh, my God, we're moving. God has told us to move. This is where we're going. Everybody's like, oh, is God transforming? We're like, no. We got a plethora of people that ask so many questions and said so many things that I guess they thought were safe or encouraging, that it was like, wow, we glad he's firm in our faith, because for somebody else, they could have made us switch their mind. You know, I even had a person say, well, you know, you get real excited, August, so just make sure you don't move too fast. Now, I know this person didn't mean nothing wrong by it, but listen to what I'm going to tell you they said to me, and then you tell me how you think about how you perceive that. They said, I know you hear God, and I know you understand how he speaks to you, but you get excited, so don't move too fast because I don't want you to miss God. Well, which one is it? Are you confident in my relationship with God and that he hears me? Or are you more concerned about the ways that I can err Because I am going to err. As a matter of fact, Abraham erred. He made some mistakes along the way, but because of his faith and being obedient to God, God covered Abraham even when he made mistakes, and he made the same mistakes more than once, okay, people? So people did not respond to us as positively as we thought that they would. And let me tell you some reasons why. I have some very practical reasons why people would be like, first of all, we own a home in St. Louis, okay? And we just decided that we're going to leave. So we're going to go ahead and clean everything out, and we're going to take all of our stuff, and we're going to sell it. Only a few items that we sold were necessities we kept, and we're going to put our house on the market. Now, everybody knows that even though they say the market is coming back, houses don't sell that fast. So, wait a minute, the time is going to take for you to get your house together, to put it on the market. You know, you're going to be sacrificing and giving up this stuff. You're going to have to start all over again and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's got all of this stuff that makes sense. Listen, God doesn't make sense. When he's trying to do something very pivotal in your life, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to make for Noah to make a boat if it has never rained. But all of a sudden, now it's going to rain, and it's going to come from the sky, and it's going to be so much that it's going to wipe out the entire world. Are you serious? God does not ask you to do things that can be interpreted by your finite mind. They are based on his infinite spirit. See, we'll quote his scripture and say that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, and as sure as the heavens are above the earth, that, you know, so are his thoughts above ours. But then when he drops a thought down on us, then we don't get it. Even though in Corinthians he said that he would reveal those things to us by his spirit. So people looked at us like we were crazy. Let me explain something to you. Number one, our house is empty. Hate to see if a burglar decided they wanted to rob our address, because you'd be lucky if you get a fork, okay? Because we're already in position to move. We said we're not going to wait for God to make us uncomfortable. We're going to get uncomfortable. I'm talking about beds, the whole nine, they're gone. We have toothbrush and toothpaste, sanitary items, you know, a couple of things to eat. We don't even grocery shop because we keep ourselves in a constant position so that if God opens up the door tomorrow, somebody comes with the cash and says, I just want your house here, take the money, that we could just leave, and that we can get out of here, and then we can go. So our mind, that's the, see, these things that I'm talking about, that's the substance. The substance, the actual existence right now is in our efforts, it's in our works. And I'm going to tell you something. At first I was like, I'm going to give a few things away. I got to packing things up and, you know, pulling stuff out. I'm like, we don't need to take this, we don't need to take that. And my whole living room and dining room was stuck on every single table, every single crack and crevice, stacked up to the sky with all of these different things. And I'm like, whoa. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, moving sale. That goes against my nature. Because people that know me, I don't sell anything. Everything that I have that I no longer desire to keep, if I don't give it to a person, I give it to some place like the Salvation Army. And so that was different. And I'm like, okay, God, I hear you. When the weather was fickle, it's all get out in St. Louis. We didn't know if it was going to be wet, dry, cold, rainy, or even snowing in the month of May. The weekend that I had the moving sale, the weather was absolutely sublime. It was perfect. I won't tell you our business, but trust me, we made well over four figures. I expected us to make a couple hundred bucks. I didn't expect us to make the kind of money that we did. That right there alone was a blessing. And then the people that came to the sale, some of them that had just gotten out of abusive relationships, they didn't have any furniture, that needed the items that we had, they couldn't believe we were selling them for the prices we were selling them for. I was able to see people that were actually very thankful to God that we were basically still practically giving the stuff away, even though we sold some of it. Then, in the process of trying to find a realtor to represent the house, we went through four realtors. But see, faith is not sitting and saying, you know what, if God wants this to happen, he'll give us the person that he wants to give us. When I tell you that the Lord sent us a realtor, that, oh, my God, she is so knowledgeable. She is so hungry and aggressive, but at the same time, humble and led by God, you couldn't have told me that this woman would have crossed our path. And I told her, I said, you know what? When we get this house on the market, I said, do you believe you can sell this house in 30 to 45 days? Look at the condition of the house. Look at the asking price we're asking for the house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she looked at us and she told us, yes. I said, all right, you won. She didn't have any doubts. She didn't waver. She told me a couple of reasons why. She told me about a couple of programs that she knew about that could even help the sellers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything, I was like, okay, that'll work. I'm liking that. I'm liking what I'm hearing. Okay, so then we had this whole time frame all the way through May while we had to get our house prepared to be able to put it on the market so she can do the pictures and all of that stuff. I kept on saying to her, I said, you know what? 72 hours. From the day that we do this open house, I'm expecting us to get an offer in 72 hours. See, people, you got to understand something. Faith is the substance. I don't want to wait and then say, guess what? We put the house on the market, and we, God was so great, we had someone put an offer in 72 hours. No, I'm saying that this is what I want, so this is what I'm speaking into existence, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. See, I know the end result, and the end result is that the Lord has told me and my husband, so we on one accord, that we're supposed to leave St. Louis, Missouri, and go to another place. That means that he's going to take care of every single thing. So while everybody else is worried about how long the house would be on the market, how long it would take to sell, we know that he wants us there before the school year kicks off so that we can have enough time to get down there to get settled into a place and from there get the kids in school and so on and so forth. So everything has to work out because, see, this is his plan. And the reason why he had me speaking on this today is because we're not there yet. So, yes, that means I have to risk the embarrassment of being off or believing something, and it didn't exactly work that way. But, see, to me, that's not a risk because the last time I checked, part of the definitions of substance was confidence, firm trust, and assurance. Now, it may not work out down to the T of how I perceive it, but it's going to work out down to the perfect timing. So if the offer doesn't come in 72 hours and we need an additional 24, am I supposed to be disappointed? You know what I'm saying? We can't find ourselves getting mixed up in too many particulars, but speak into existence what you want. Trust and believe God that it's going to come to pass. Okay. So I'll give you another piece of the testimony. Our open house was on Saturday. It was from Saturday from 1 to 3. We had two agents that wanted to bring their people out to look at the house also on Sunday between 2 and 4. On our open house day, we had 8 people look at the house. They were ecstatic about it. They had only complaint that some people had is that they wished that our master suite was just a little bit bigger. Other than that, no complaints about our house. Then we had two people, like I said, that came yesterday. Now, we're gone from the premises. I come back home later. I was going to come back home at like 5:30 because I'm hanging out with a girlfriend, but my baby started acting kind of weird, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and go back home. When I pull up to my house, there's a black car in my driveway. I see a couple getting out of the car, and I'm like, whoa, maybe the agent is running super late. But I don't see a second car. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe I ought to just come back. The Holy Spirit said, wait. And I look at them, and I can see they're kind of peeking around the house, but they're not fully going on to the property. I said, oh, okay. These are just some passerbyers because we got signs out or something like that. So I rolled down the window. I said, hey, do you guys have an appointment with an agent to see the house? And they were like, no. We don't. And they said, are you the agent? And I said, no, I'm the owner. And so of course they're like, oh, okay, excuse us. They're getting ready to leave out the property. I said, if you would like to see the house, I can let you in. So I let this husband and wife come in the house. They looked around. They looked at everything. And they were floored. You could tell that they really, really liked the house. But I remember looking at the husband because he kind of reminds me of mine. At one point after we went through the entire house and looked at everything, we were sitting in the kitchen, and he said, wow. And you pulled up right when we pulled up. See, I already know what was going on with him. He was having a spiritual moment. And he was trying to digest that thing and say, okay, Father, how convenient could it have been for the time that we were looking at this house for this woman to have pulled up? Because, see, they saw it on the Internet. They saw it on Zillow. So they were just trying to at least look at the outside and see if they could peek into a couple of houses. So when they got to ours, you know, I'm like, okay, well, if you don't have an agent, the guy was like, well, we don't, but well, he didn't say he didn't have an agent. He said he was pre-approved, but he hadn't gotten, he went through the process. He just needed to get a paperwork from his credit union. And he was saying all of this stuff that he needed to do. They liked the house. It was the right size, the right price, the right amenities, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I said, well, you know, I know you got to go home, think about it. Gave him a flyer packet with all my realtor's information. If you don't have an agent, you know, call her. She knows about down payment assistance, et cetera, et cetera. Text my agent after the people left, told her that another couple came by, you know, just giving her an FYI, some random person calls her or whatever. Later on last night at about 9:30, I get a call from my agent. What was the name of that couple that came by? I was like, blah, 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 you know, only expose their name. And she was like, that I knew it. She said that was them. She said, I got an email, and the title of it was, I want to make you an offer. She said, and I started not to open it because I get emails like this all the time. She read the email to me, and the man said, I saw the house, and I was completely amazed. And I've already been approved, and he had been approved for an amount that exceeded the price of what our house was going for. And he didn't even say, I want to make you an offer for less than, because a lot of times people do that. That's just the name of the game. You know, you go back and forth. He said, I want to make an offer for the price that they've requested. Bam. So he's going to get his pre-approval letter so that he can formally submit the offer and so that we can go from there. Just a little bit over 24 hours. And I asked God for 72. So I'm just saying, my thing is look at how he's moving. Look at how he's aligning things in my life in order for it to work out. Many of you that are listening to this show, you have those testimonies, and it might not, it may have came out of a trying time. It may have came out of a time when you were struggling. It may come out of a happy time like with mine. But think about that time when you needed God to show up and show out, and you believed and you knew in your heart that it was something that he wanted you to do. It was a job that he wanted you to have. It was a place that he wanted you to stay. It was a partner that he wanted you to be with. It was something. And even when other people spoke against it, it didn't look right. Your actions still said, I'm not qualified for this job, but I'm going to apply anyway. I don't know where I'm going to stay if I do this thing, but I'm going to believe that I'm supposed to be here and then give God the opportunity to provide the shelter. I'm going to get this job or this position. I don't have transportation. And then you got gifted with a vehicle because you still sought out the position. See, faith is the substance. It's the actual existence of some form of effort by you. We have to stop getting in a place where we hear God, we believe God, and we kind of sit around and wait for him to move first. God doesn't have to move. All he has to do is speak. His spirit moves, and it's supposed to move through us to activate us to do something. When he created the earth, yes, the spirit moved, but all God did was speak. When you go back to Genesis, it says that, you know, the spirit moved and God spoke, let there be light. And God spoke this. See, God is not speaking and then doing all of the work that doesn't require you to have any faith. So what is it in your life? What things do you need to see happen or manifest that you are not taking out the time and having the giving the opportunity for God to continue to work on top of what you're doing? Effort. Put forth effort. Because the other part of faith doesn't just say that it's substance. It says that it's the evidence. The evidence, in another definition, the evidence is the conviction. That's according to the Hebrew definition. So where are your convictions? You have to act upon your convictions. If you look at a regular dictionary, it says it's the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. Well, this isn't science, where you make a hypothesis and then you go and you – and wait a minute, hold up, I said that. Because even with science, you may make a hypothesis, but you still have to go through the experiment so that you can validate whether or not your hypothesis was true or false. The difference between faith and science is that you don't have to figure out whether or not it's true or false. You know that it's true, which is why you go ahead and go through the experiment, or shall I say the experience. So believing and trusting God, even in trials and tribulations, it's not just necessarily the happy testimony. So as I'm going through this walk, yeah, I'm believing that this house is going to be sold very quickly. And you want to know the next part of faith? We're leaving immediately. I can already answer your questions if you want to know, where is my husband going to be working at? As it stands right now, don't worry. He didn't have a job down there. Where are we going to be living at? Well, we may have to go down there and go into an extended stay. God has blessed me to speak with a very awesome realtor that will hook us up with rental property that's ready to serve us. She keeps in contact with me, and even when I let a couple of days or a week go by, we'll find the job, we'll find the place when we get there. I have a sister in Christ. I love her to death. I don't know if she will or she won't be embarrassed by this, because some of you might be saying, okay, August, I understand why you're doing that, you know. Yeah, it's a very daring thing to do, but you have, you know, for those that really know me, yeah, you got a good man in your life, and he takes care of you, and he'll do anything for you, and he can get a good job, and he don't care if he has to cut grass and change tires or whatever. He can do hustle jobs on the side. You don't ever have to work for anything. But here I am by myself, or here I am, I'm young, and, you know, how do I do this? I have a beautiful friend named Kedra. And back in January, she came to me and she wanted to talk to me because somebody had said something rather discouraging to her in reference to something that she knew that God had told her. And what God had told her was that he wanted her to move. She told me the state. I'm not revealing the state yet, guys, and there's a reason for that. In her case or in mine, and you'll understand. You don't get to know everything. But she came to me and she was like, God gave me this vision, I'm supposed to move. Now, this is a young woman who's a single parent. And she is coming and saying that God has told her to do this. And she knows that she has to be gone by July. Yeah, she overshot the date, people. Because let me tell you something. That girl landed in Texas. Well, I said the state. See, I couldn't even help myself. She landed in Texas on Saturday. She's there already. Now, before she left, she also didn't have a job, but she knew that the day was coming. Now, God opened up a door. There is somebody down there that she knew. They said, if you want to come down here, you can stay with us while you're looking for a job and trying to get on your feet. She basically gave everything away that she had. She only has the bare necessities with her, and she moved. And the thing about it is, a lot of people would have said, girl, that's because it's the parents, if I'm not mistaken, I could have this part wrong. I don't want to mess up her testimony, but this isn't her family. I think it may be the father of her children's family or a very close friend, but it's not even her family. But you already know how some people would be. Girl, you know sometimes people will tell you that you can come and stay with them, but after a while you wear out your welcome. And what if it takes you too long to find a job? And what if this don't work? What if that don't work? And pump the brakes. She decided by faith, and she told me last week that she was leaving on Friday. Why on Thursday, or Wednesday, before she was supposed to leave, did she finally get a call from a job that was willing to do a telephone interview with her for a position where they had said that they really want her for the job? Now, see, she could have interviewed, found out they wanted her, and then decided to move. But let me explain something to you that I realize now about that state. when the people there, it ain't like it is like how it is in St. Louis. You put your resume out there, I don't care what nobody say, unless you got creme de la creme, the credentials, and they have a deficit in the position. I don't know, but I know a lot of people that feel like their resume is out there for weeks and months before they even get a response. Even when you got the hookup, sometimes jobs could take you 6 months to get them. Out there, they look at your resume. If they're intrigued by you, they call you immediately. They want you to interview, and they want you to start. They have an abundance of jobs and positions available. If she would have slept on waiting for the job first, they could have said, oh, well, we really do want you, but you're not here. So I'm sorry, we have to go on to the next candidate. But see, because she moved by faith, like that first said with Abraham in Hebrews 11 and 8, when you go back and read it, she received her inheritance because she had already decided to move and obey God. Her substance, the actual existence, was in her actions, so she received what God wanted to give her. People, if you're looking for God to move, but you're not willing to be uncomfortable, you're missing it. If you're looking for God to move, but you don't want to sacrifice anything, you're missing it. And some of the things that are holding you back and keeping you from what God has to give you, guess what? They even look like good things. See, sometimes it's a lot easier for you to say, I got to get out of this place. Because it's dysfunctional, because it's bad, because this is going wrong and this is going wrong. But what about when everything is going good, except for a few little quirky things, like maybe your desire to do something different, which God put it there? Let me give you an example. I have been a hairstylist, okay? I've been doing hair without the credentials, but still doing hair since I was a sophomore in high school, since 1992, for those of you who may be wondering how old I am, start doing the math now. Since 1992, I have been braiding hair. I did eventually go to school and get my cosmetology license and began to do a couple of other things as well, but I have been doing that for so long, and I have some people that have still been with me since that era. My average client is at least a seven-year-old client. They've been around. There are very few that are only 5 years. I had a very thriving business doing hair. But here it is. God equipped me and my daughter with this magnificent ability to design jewelry. And we've sold it in different places. We've gotten excellent responses. We keep on pushing and pressing the market, learning about the business and learning about different techniques. And here it is. God birthed something in me. And that's a whole other episode with explaining how that whole thing came to pass, where he encouraged me to utilize this gift. Now, here it is. Not only does he want me to utilize the gift, he wants me to expand the gift into a business. And that's pulling out something completely different out of me and out of my daughter. But look at this. There is no way in the world to develop a business, have it on the Internet, and do everything else that it requires that I would be able to develop a business and continue to be a hairstylist. Because with the clientele that I had, in addition to the fact since I do micros, pixies, and braids like that, for those of you that don't know anything about braids, those are hairstyles that could take 6 hours plus. They were sucking my days out of me. I didn't have that much time to put into the jewelry business. And God blessed me with a mentor who didn't tell me that I had to sacrifice my business, but was telling me about priorities and prioritizing, and I began to realize that I couldn't have them both. So that meant that I was going to have to let go of my clients that I had been with for years. Clients that a lot of them were older and that need me because they have different problems with alopecia, and I got these excellent techniques, and I've developed a couple things. One of them I have a patent on to camouflage their weak spots or their bald spots on their head. So I used to always be like, even if I minimize and reduce my clientele, these people, I'm going to continue to do their hair because they need me. But it took my mentor, once I did let her know God was dealing with me about having to walk away from the business, she said, I hate to be so drastic, but I was, you know, what if you die tomorrow? We would figure out how to get our hair done. We don't want to get it done by somebody else. But if we had to, we would. Let me tell you something. My husband and I have talked about leaving the great state of Missouri for a very long time. We had talked about it for like maybe 2 or 3 years. But I was always like, yeah, well, you know, baby, if you get transferred somewhere, you know, you're my husband. I'm going to follow you. That's not even the question. But even though he's the breadwinner, I bring something to the table. I bring a lot to the table. And I'm going to tell you something. Because I'm a black woman, you know, and I'm strong, you know, that's something that we pride ourselves in, being able to hold ours down. That right there, people, that was a change for me. That was something I had to let go of. And you know why? Because it was a level of control. It's a level of comfort. I was able to dictate how much money I'm going to have, what I'm able to do with it, as opposed to totally surrendering. And there are a lot of relationships that are crippled because of the stigmas from past relationships or people that we let minister to us. A lot of you women, you wouldn't even make that kind of decision. I'm not going to leave myself vulnerable and then I walk away from my money and how it is that I get paid and what I do, and all of a sudden he get a wild hair and go crazy and do me like the man did Angela Bassett and decide he just go up and leave her, and then I'm stuck and I got to start all over again. Well, my thing is, I know for a fact that I married who God wanted me to marry. I know for a fact that we walk in agreement and we speak and we move in sync with God. So who am I really trusting? Yeah, I trust my husband, but I trust the God in my husband more than I trust him. See, God is the one that said he would supply all of my needs. So if I truly want to call him out on his word and trust him and have faith, if in order for me to get to the next level that God wants me to go to, then that means I may have to sacrifice something and show I don't have control and I can't provide to let God provide. You want, how do you ever get to see the miracle, the evidence of the faith that God can be a provider for you if you won't let go of that thing that helps you to provide for yourself? And ever since I've done that, I still ain't been broke. And ever since I've done that, I still ain't had to worry if my husband ain't caught a wild hair up his butt. Matter of fact, he was making a sacrifice himself by walking away from a job, making the kind of money that he's making for us to go to a whole other state so that we can launch, create it there, where there's more avenues for growth and stuff like that. So, you know, don't let change, don't let good things keep you. Don't let family, circumstances, whatever it is, loyalties and obligations to people keep you. Because, see, even with Abraham, he left. Now, he did take his father and his nephew Lot with him. But he left his hometown. He left where he left all the things that were familiar to him. He left the land of familiar, and he said, okay, you know what? I got to move forward. And see, he didn't have technology and stuff like that, so people couldn't just come knock on the door and be like, hey, can you give me $5? Can you pick me up? Can you come back here real quick? Wasn't no telephone so people could call and say, hey, even though you can't be here, I just need to talk to you because I got a problem for a minute. And, you know, when he left. It wasn't no calling back and asking for no help. You would have had to do the time he would have took the journey to get back to ask for some help. He had better figured it out by himself, or maybe just trusted God and let him do what it was that he was going to do. I hope you all are getting where I'm coming from with all of these things that I'm saying about truly operating out of faith. The evidence is you. The evidence is you standing on a proposition to show that it's true and valid. Even if you err to any degree, I trust you. I mean, I trust God and I believe and I know that he's got you. So let's stop hearing God speak to us. Let's stop knowing that he did, then overanalyzing things, trying to rationalize things and trying to connect the dots from A, B, C, D, all the way down to Z. Because, see, God may skip a whole 10 letters in the alphabet, and he might start at W and go back to A. We don't understand exactly how he moves, but the Bible says he'll give us the desires of our hearts. What is your heart desiring? What is the invention that he put in you? What is the organization that he put in you? And you know what? You don't have to have all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted. I'm running my business. I'm doing the best that I can. You know what? There's going to be some people that say, you know what? I remember when Creative was just a little rinky-dink jewelry selling company with their little Vistaprint website. I remember when they did their little rinky-dink post on Twitter and Facebook. And then they'll be looking and saying, wow, did you see their website? Did you see their promo ads on television? You know, they say, oh, I've seen those little, you know, techniques and styles that they did. You know, I saw those, you know, not inferior products, but maybe not as expensive products. And then they'll be like, wow, do you see the metal and material that they're working with? See, we're not waiting until we're fully prepared and everything is absolutely perfect. We're working, and as we're working and going and walking forward, God continues to prepare me and my family. So, no, you don't just walk out blindly and say, oh, yeah, God told me I'm going to be a doctor, so I'm going to apply for a job at a hospital. No, you go to the classes. You speak out the internship. You try to talk to doctors now. Whatever it is that you want, you begin to work on that thing. And you believe that thing, then God will begin to connect you with people, places, and things that will take what you're trying to do to the next level. But if you just sit and wait and hope that something's going to drop in your lap, you will be sitting and you will be waiting for a very long time. So, people, I'm moving forward. There's a favorite song of mine by Mally Music. If you don't know it, look it up. That might be an inspiration to you. Maybe, maybe not. I hope that you all are moving forward too. So as usual, I put a lot out there, had a lot of things to say. I hope that to some degree this is ministered to your spirit. Don't let anybody talk you out of what God has already placed you into. Don't let things that even look good keep you from moving forward into the promises that God has for you. Continue to move with a spirit of expectation. Faith is the substance. It's the actual existence of your actions proving that you believe in what God has said that you can do or what you can have. It is your conviction, the proof in you that what he said is going to manifest, will manifest. Let's stop speaking on it when it's a testimony. Let's start speaking on it while it's a process. And thanking God and praising him and giving the glory now for what he's doing. So I don't know if there are any questions or comments. I always open up the floor for it. If you have a question or comment, I always advise press the number one. It'll prompt me to select you so that you can, you know, speak what's on your heart or mind. Hey, and just remember, even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, hey, I want those comments too. I want to hear what it is that you're thinking and how you're feeling in response to what I put out there. Maybe sometimes you have to listen to these things and you have to reflect. And maybe you want to make a comment after. You want to email me something because you want to hear a different topic. Email me at my name. It's augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's AugustCrenshaw. CrenshaW. It doesn't look like we have any questions or comments. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to pray us out, and I can't wait to hear from you all and speak with you next week. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for who you are. I pray that the saints were fired up today, God, that something extra was spoken into their spirits and that they realize that they can stop being complacent, that they can stop being in the land of familiar, and that they can move forward, God, and get a little uncomfortable so that you can give them things that they've never even imagined that they can have. Lord, you are precious. You are our strength. You are the actual existence that lives in us. So let our behaviors give the actual existence of that by the works that we put forth. May we continue to live full lives. Let us not wait on you to do anything, God, because, see, you did it when you spoke your word. May we have an insatiable desire for your word so that we can read it and so that it can minister to our spirits so that we can go to the next level. We thank you and praise you for being God on the throne. We thank you for sending your son to die for our sins, and we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit for direction. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to you guys next week.